This is iFaith Video Sermon 42, Less of Self and More of Thee. It's from Philippians. In the last lesson, which was called Chains and Dogs, we looked at Paul under pressure and how he responded with faith in the Lord, with grace towards others, with alarm, not neutrality, but real alarm about dangerous false teachers. I think the implication as we read between the lines in this great letter, is that the Philippians were not living, not reacting the right way amidst the challenges and pressures they were facing. And if I'm right about that, then selfishness is the issue among the Philippians. That explains Paul's strategy as we go through part of the letter in this lesson. In chapter 2, Paul uses the example of Jesus, particularly coming from heaven to earth, the incarnation, becoming one of us. And then he gives another example with Timothy, and then yet another with Epaphroditus. But he also uses his own example to motivate the Philippians. In chapter 1, he's clearly living selflessly, even though he's subjected to unfair criticism. In chapter 3, we see Paul's humility. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So Paul is not afraid of using his own example, but in Philippians 2, he uses three other persons, Epaphroditus, Timothy, and Jesus, and we're going to focus on Jesus. Our text is sometimes called the Song of Christ, or you may hear it called Carmen Christi, the Latin name, and this is Philippians 2, 5-11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Christ Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's one of the most beautiful parts of Scripture. Some people think Paul made up this song or poem, hymn. Others that it existed already and he adapted it. It doesn't really matter, but it is very much the heart of Philippians. And we read of Jesus in the very nature of God, because in nature, Jesus and the Father are equal. But he didn't try to capitalize on that equality. He did not use tricks. When he was one of us, he was tested, he was tempted, he suffered. And in fact, he took the very nature of a servant. So you see the directions here. He's up, he comes down to our earth, and yet he will be exalted. He has been exalted to the highest place. And ultimately, every knee will bow to him. And there's a quotation here from the prophet Isaiah. It's actually a passage talking about the enemies of God bowing before him. But Jesus is God in nature. So he could have had a much easier way, a much easier life, but he refused to do that. He had integrity all the way. So what do we learn from this? Well, I think I need to learn more and more that it's not my agenda, though I am one who always has an agenda, always lives by lists. It's Jesus' agenda. There's some matters of theology, there's some matters of Scripture that are minor. They're not big deals. We could have different views on these, and we're still okay. We may have different understanding of leadership, or maybe a different comprehension of what happens at the judgment day or the nature of hell. But am I insisting on my views being aired every time I open my mouth, like Proverbs 18 talks about? Some things we just need to let them sit for a while. In Romans 14, Paul talks about those disputable matters. It's not worth not disturbing others, no, causing others to stumble, causing others to lose salvation. Let our agenda be Jesus' agenda, not disputable matters, not things that are convenient for us, our hobbies. What's really important? The shows or films we like to watch, church politics, my personal preferences. We're deciding what to eat. Do I have to insist everyone be subject to my diet? Nitpicky complaints could be about the church, the songs or the music or anything else. Recreation. What am I living for? My rights? Do I insist on grievances, petty grievances? I love the way Paul puts it in chapter 3 after explaining that the things that we're so proud of are really garbage. They're rubbish compared to knowing Christ and that greatness. And he says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So Paul's not expecting us to arrive, to be perfect, not in the sense of faultlessness, but perfect in the sense of maturity, yes. Perfection in the Bible is completion, it's maturity. We need to become more and more like him. And at least let's not slip backwards. Let's live up to what we've already obtained. But the problem is self gets in the way. And I don't mean just generally speaking, yeah, selfishness is a problem in our world. No, I mean me. I mean you, myself, yourself, each one of us. Self gets in the way. I would like to close this message with the words of a powerful hymn that struck me when I was a young Christian, even though I don't think I've sung this song in church for years, at least 10 or 20 years. But it's called Less of Self and More of Thee. Because the problems that the Philippians had, whether it was the disagreement between the two women in chapter 4, or it was just general selfishness, there were many things going on. But everything would change if we would just let Christ be in our hearts. And I'm not talking about the so-called sinner's prayer, let's invite Jesus in our hearts, because that's not a biblical way of becoming a Christian. However, yes, inviting him in to fill us, asking God's Spirit to be in us, that's something we do. And that's not just a one-time thing. That's as often as necessary, and it's necessary a lot. I hope you can focus on these words. It's four verses as I speak them, not sing them. I'm tempted to, but I'm going to just say them. Oh, the bitter shame and sorrow that a time could ever be when I let the Savior's pity plead in vain and proudly answered, all of self and none of thee. All of self and none of thee. Yet he found me. I beheld him bleeding on the cursed tree. Heard him pray, forgive them, Father. And my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Some of self and some of thee. Day by day, his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, sweet and strong and, so patient, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Less of self, more of thee. Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last hath conquered. Grant me now my heart's petition, none of self and all of thee. None of self and all of thee. Many believers find these words extremely moving because they chart the trajectory of the carnal, selfish man or woman just starting to get serious about God, allowing some of God in, and then more and more, and it moves from all of self to some of self, less of self, none of self, from none of thee to some of thee, more of thee, and all of thee. And that's the direction we should all be going. We're not going to be perfect, and we won't reach it in this life. But that is what we truly need and want. Less of self and more of thee. And I pray that Philippians will be an encouragement to you. In our next lesson, next two lessons, will be in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. And remember again, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon, Ephesians are the prison letters, letters he wrote in prison. Let's be moved by this. And let's put this into action. Not my agenda, but ask, what does the Lord want? God bless you, and thank you for watching iFaith Message 42.